If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Well, well, well. Good evening. Welcome to WGN. 1023, White Sox win. Great job, Andy Mazur. Great job, Darren Jackson. Great job, Joe Brand. Good to hear you guys. Good to be with you tonight. Big show tonight. We got guests aplenty, topics aplenty. I'm fired up. David Ross, former Cub, on the program tonight. We'll play him a little bit later. And we're going to talk some marijuana tonight. Got my guy Stu, who's an attorney, who's going to lay it out for you, what it's going to look like in the wild and wacky tobacco world that Illinois will be in 2020. And we will also get a little conversation going about what in the world is going on in Washington. Young Greta, 16-year-old Greta Thunberg, who's sailing across the world to bring attention to climate change, and she's testifying before the U.S. Congress. And she's 16 years old, and she's the most mature person in the room by like 8,000 miles. How is that possible? Like, seriously, how is that possible? And we're also paying attention to everything that's going on in the world of sports with the White Sox and the Bears. Des Clark, former Chicago Bears tight end, will be on the program tonight, as well as we get you ready for the Washington Redskins and take a look at what's going on with the Chicago Bears. So, exciting day. Michael Heidemann, best thing that happened to you today, sir. Let's hear it.
Oh, it was an amazing day. I got to see my mom. She came in from McHenry, Illinois. Her name is Celeste, and we got to go out for my brother's birthday this week. So got to see her. So shout out, Mom.
You don't see Mom all the time?
I don't get to see her all the time. She lives, you know, an hour and a half away, but taking that train home is hard sometimes when you work nights. So yeah, anytime I get to see her is a good day.
What a good son.
Yeah, what about you, Carm?
Best thing that happened to me today? Good question, Michael Heidemann. I'm glad you asked. Well, it was fun. It was fun hanging out on the Steve Cochran show this morning. That was enjoyable.
You are the hardest working man on WGN. I cannot believe your hours.
You can never say no to a Steve Cochran experience. Mm-hmm. Why would you ever do that? So that was it. Was a fun show this morning. Good to see G and Steve and Coach Krzanich, Mary, the whole crew. Everybody was rocking and rolling this morning. Todd Manley up early, giving us the candy. It's always a great feeling at 6 a.m. But I got to tell you, I'm really looking forward to playing back the conversation with David Ross tonight. Here's a guy that he's doing some great work off the field right now. He's working with Huggies and providing diapers for families that can't afford them. 250,000 diapers were donated today.
Wow, nice.
I don't need a diaper yet myself, but maybe someday I will again, you know? but more importantly, of course, for the kids, right?
Yeah.
And so that it is, and here's a guy who's just, I don't know, the rumors are just out there all the time that perhaps he'll be the next manager of the Chicago Cubs. So I'm going to ask him about that, and we'll see what David Ross has to say about that. But he doesn't say that it's not going to happen.
Man, maybe an exclusive we got here?
I don't know if it's an exclusive. I don't think it's quite an exclusive, but
well, that's great.
He didn't really, well, I don't think it's great because I love Joe Maddon, and I hope that he hangs around. But you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But coming up after 10:30, I want to play some of these comments and some of these interactions with young Greta and these adults who are trying to speak to a child and explain how the world works. And it just seems like one of the major philosophies of this country, and I love this country so, but or the people that are in Congress in this country, is that, well, if they're doing something bad over there, then that means that we don't have to do anything better over here. How come they're getting away with it and we're not? Mm-hmm.
Push the blame.
I don't know. Just to me, that sounds like a 3-year-old. China's doing this. Mm-hmm. We're not. Look at what they're doing with climate change.
We should just buy Greenland. Oh my gosh, give me a break.
Well, he's not even involved. These are just the people that are.
I was just talking about the other childish stuff.
Right, I know, but it's like amazing because Donald gets all the heat, and some of it deservedly so, right?
Mm-hmm.
But these are the congressmen.
Mm-hmm.
They're listening. This is a hearing of Congress. Donald's nowhere to be found.
It's a much bigger pool in this congressional field, too.
She's sitting there saying, like, hey, we should listen to the science. And we'll play it after 10:30. Well, why should we listen to the science? Why should we listen to the science? I don't know. When you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you, hey, take this pill, your blood pressure will go down. Do we listen to the doctor? Or do we say, you know what? Not going to listen to you. You're just the doctor. Not. And by the way, sometimes when you listen to the doctor, you could have a doctor that's wrong. And maybe you go and see another doctor and he tells you something else.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's 1,000 doctors and they're all telling you the exact same thing, well, at that point, maybe you should trust the doctor to do their job, just like you should trust the scientists to do their job. Why should we listen to the scientists? And she just kind of said, well, excuse me? Why should we listen to the scientists? It's like, I don't know, put it in any expert thing. Why should we listen to the dentist?
Mm-hmm.
Why should we listen to the teacher? Why should we listen to the parents? Why should we listen to Don Kleppen when he gives the news up here? What does he know about the news?
That's a great question, Greta.
Right?
Truly.
What was the best part about your day, Don? Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, too. It was definitely not watching those hearings. It was, like you said, it's like a Disney movie up there.
I mean, it's unbelievable, right?
Little girl is talking sense to a room full of angry, evil old white dudes.
I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah, it was. It's ridiculous.
I'm like, they're telling you that and then they're up there like, what do you tell your children?
Mm-hmm.
So bad.
I tell them that China was not doing right, so we didn't do right.
Right.
All right, we'll do that coming up here. 720 WGN, 1035. Mark Carmen with you. Hope you had a great day today. A better day than Garrett Graves, U.S. representative from Louisiana's 6th Congressional District. We'll get to him in a minute. He won in a runoff election. Garrett Graves. That's who I've got some ire for today. All right, so let's just talk about, I'm going to call her a hero. The great Greta Thunberg. She's 16 years old. 16. I don't know what you were doing at 16. Let me think about what I was doing at 16. At 16 years old, I was watching Michael Jordan play basketball. I was playing basketball. I was getting bad grades. I was not making my bed. I was
getting your license, driving around the town.
I was having people call me out of school. I was doing all sorts of things that I should not have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. She is traveling across the world on a boat to raise awareness for climate change. She's 16 years old. She's a climate activist, and she showed up today in Congress pleading. And she was talking to the House Climate Crisis Committee and a House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee. So this is where she's here. Let's start with, she was asked, she's pleading with them, hey, will you please just listen to the science? We are in a crisis here. Please listen to the science. And this was one of the fine gentlemen asking her a very simple question.
Could you expand on why it's so important to listen to the science? I'll start just with Ms. Thunberg. You chose to submit the IPCC report in lieu of your written testimony. Could you expand on why it's so important to listen to the science?
Well, I don't see a reason to not listen to the science. It's such a thing that we should be taking for granted, that we listen to the current best available United Science. It's just something that everyone should do. This is not political opinions, political views or my opinions. This is the science. So, yeah.
She's, like, shocked by the question. why should we listen to the science? What do you want me to say to you, sir? Sir, the reason why we should listen to the science, you know why? Because it's the science. This is what these people get paid to do. They study the earth. They're scientists. You are a congressman. You know what we listen to you for? I don't even know what we listen to you for. You know what we listen to the cook for? We listen to him when the meat's done, how to prepare things, what to get at your favorite restaurant. I don't know. That's a preposterous question. Am I missing something here? I find that question ridiculous.
She when she was talking to him too, it was like she was trying to think to herself, are you not taking me seriously? Like, do you not? Are you really trying to ask me this kind of question?
It's like they're trying to. It's like they're borderline like talking down to her. Now here was the ultimate talk down. His name is Garrett Neil Graves. He was born January 31st, 1972. All right. So this is a 47-year-old man talking to a 16-year-old, and he's trying to explain life to her.
And in the United States today, we're spending more money on climate science, technology, and energy solutions than anywhere else in the world. Ms. Thunberg, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sailing across the ocean and you're picking up trash along the way, and for every one piece of trash that you pick up, there's a boat right next to you dumping out five pieces, how would that make you feel?
I would stop dumping my trash in the ocean and tell the other boat to stop dumping their trash in the ocean as well.
And that's the important point here. I think that what we need to be doing is we need to be focusing on the countries that are dumping trash in the ocean. Of course, that's a metaphor.
Another perspective. I am from Sweden. It's a small country. And there it is the same argument. Why should we do anything? Just look at the U.S., they say. So just so you know, that is being used against you as well.
So there you go, out in Sweden. Hey, man, we're not going to be doing anything. Look at the United States of America. Those USA goofballs are polluting up the earth to the end of the world. Why should little old Sweden, why should we worry about what's going on in our backyard? Look at what the U.S. is doing. Then the U.S. is, look at what China's doing. Why can't we just look in the old mirror? What am I doing? How do I live my life? How are you living your life? How can you be the best person possible? I don't want to get on my high horse here. But how can I be my very best? And how can you be your very best? And then incremental moves. And all of a sudden, maybe the world's a better place. Maybe we actually, maybe if the U.S. gets on board, then a country like Sweden falls on. And then maybe there's enough pressure on China that they do the same. Wouldn't that be logical? Here was another person who was trying to help Greta support, and she was absolutely phenomenal addressing Congress.
When your children ask you, did you do absolutely everything in your power to stop the climate crisis, when the storms are getting worse and we're seeing all the effects of the climate crisis, when they ask you, did you do everything, can you really look them in the eye and say, no, sorry, I couldn't do anything because that country over there didn't do anything, so if they're not going to do it, then I'm not. That is shameful. And that is cowardly. And there is no excuse to not take action, to not improve as much as we can in the United States. And how can we call ourselves the city on a hill an example for the world if we're going to be cowards and hide behind waiting for other people, saying that I'm not going to do this because they didn't. I want you to think about, this is all about being able to look your children in the eye and say, I did absolutely everything I could for you. I know that we're up against a lot of pressure. I know that the time is running out, but like my honey, however you call your kids, I did everything I could. And so I just don't understand, as a parent, how can you look your kid in the eye and say, there's this impending crisis. Everything is at stake. But I stood back and I didn't really do anything. I didn't take action. I didn't act like it was an emergency because our neighbors over there weren't doing it. So I'm just not going to. How can you tell your children that?
So her name is Jamie Margolin, Margolin. She's 17 years old. She's the co-founder of a youth climate organization called This Is Zero Hour. And it's just incredible to me. They're up there sounding more mature, more informed, more rational, more grounded, more everything than the adults who we have elected to be sitting there and deal with everything that is in front of us as far as how we're going to move forward in the best way, shape, or form. 312-981-7200, by the way, is the phone number. I just don't know where we're going if we're really like looking to a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old, and we're giving them the space, right, to actually speak because we know deep down it's the right thing to do. Let's give and let's listen to them. But then it's like we're just giving them the platform because, well, that'll be cute and we'll have this little hearing and they'll feel heard, and we can say that we did the right thing, but then we're going to come up with whatever excuses, and we're not going to do anything. I don't know. I just feel terrible about it. These kids are terrified of what it's going to be. Terrified enough that a 16-year-old's going to get on a boat and go across the Atlantic Ocean and go speak to Congress. I mean, can you imagine the mindset of, well, this is what I got to do? Because no one's going to do anything. These adults are doing nothing for me. They're actually ruining my life. How do you look yourself in the mirror on that? How do you not feel terrible? I feel terrible. I feel like the best thing I can do is talk about it on WGN. I don't know. Michael Heideman, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's interesting, Mark, because you're exactly right. It does seem like they were just doing it to be cute and a great social media thing that they could spread out. Look at these kids. They're being hurt, and it kind of backfired at them because obviously they were dealing with somebody who was as smart as Greta and the way that she was able to address her problems. But at the same time, playing devil's advocate, if you were a congressman and you were sitting there, it would be amazing to be like, you know what? You're right. Let's not leave here until we can really get this done. Well, let's pass a few bills right at this moment. And it's hard because, you know, they're brought with this kind of stuff every single day. So how do you even argue with them in this kind of platform? You know what I'm saying? Like, what would have been your response if you were speaking to Greta?
I would have said, Greta, I really, really appreciate your effort to be here today. And I know that it took a ton of courage for you to be on this journey and to have adults like myself staring at you and perhaps not agreeing with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you this, Greta. I'm going to do everything in my power in this seat to advocate for you and for my kids, and for my kids' kids, and even if I didn't have children, for the children that I see walking around on the street. And I have been complicit, and I have valued sitting in my own seat more than I valued the future of this country and the future of the world. And I'm going to look myself in the mirror, and I'm going to say, you know what? That is not the way I want to be remembered. And I appreciate the fact that you've brought this right in front of me. And I agree with you. And I hope that the people that I'm sitting with today, to my left, to my right, I hope they're hearing you as well as I'm hearing you. Because I'm telling you right now, we all know that we have some work to do. And quite frankly, Greta, I don't know where we're going. I don't know if we can do enough. We've done a lot of damage. And this has been going on for a long time. And we've known about this all the way back to the 60s, 70s, 50 years ago. And we have kicked the can down the road. As long as I'm sitting in this seat, we're not going to kick the can down the road anymore. And by the way, can I take you out for ice cream? You deserve it. Something like that, man.
Mark Carmen for president.
Something like that.
No, that's the point. It's like that is the correct response that they should have given this this group of children on this platform, because you actually want to make a change, and these people are just not doing anything. It seems like they're just stuck in the mud almost.
In their mind, they're great rationalizers.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing this, so we don't have to do that. Nothing's going to happen. There's no way we can move this forward. So I'm just going to, I'm going to come up with whatever excuse I can come up with. People are texting me. The adults used to be true believers in their youth as well. The kid sounds this way because cynicism hasn't taken a hold of them yet. Well, I mean, is that a... That's not a way to live your life, man.
That's just backing out again.
Then bring out your inner kid. You never lose. An adult doesn't lose the child inside of him, or at least they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I love to do? I love to go play tennis. I love to go swimming. I like to go for a nice walk, and a bike ride or compete. Those are all kid things, man. Adults, I mean, how when we walk around, I see 50-year-olds doing fun things. It's how does a parent like handle being with a kid? You act like a kid. You get on the ground, right? You roll around. You play with. I mean, when Steve Cochran goes and plays with
Abigail,
mm-hmm. Does he act like an adult or does he act like a kid?
Big kid,
right?
Big
he's a kid. So you know. If you need somebody to bring that back out, then let's get some joy in your life, man. You don't be a cynic.
And especially for people making our laws, and they have this kind of cynicism already. Like come on. I mean, I get it. I know that life is hard. I know that things seem like they're an upward climb. But that's why you're in that seat. This is why you were given that opportunity to make these decisions for young people like Greta.
Yeah, Greta, I got your back, Greta. There's nothing I can do. But there is. That's another thing. Like, just everybody can do like their little part. Maybe don't like. I don't know. How about just like when you brush your teeth? Can you not walk out of the room, be on the phone, come back, and the water's running the whole time? Like something like that. How about just a little thing like that? How about the 10 pounds of paper that you use today? Just try to get it in the recycle bin. Is it that hard? Is it really that hard?
We need those more you know campaigns to come back. Remember when they would teach you like little lessons on TV and they would play the little.
We need Mr. Rogers back, man. Where's Mr. Rogers?
That could be you. That could be Mr. Carmen.
I mean, where's Greta going in life? By the way, she's gonna do something, something really, really big. People are texting and wondering if the Hawks won. I'm gonna tell you that, sir. It's a full service show. The Chicago Blackhawks were at the United Center tonight. They were taking on the Detroit Red Wings. And the Blackhawks were a winner tonight by a score of 2-1. So, they split in the last two nights with Detroit. They lost last night up there 5-3. They won tonight 2-1. There you go. Full service show from Greta to the Blackhawks. Mark, I'm enjoying your show. Keep in mind that the politicians face re-election are going with what their constituency wants. Unfortunately, most voters do not believe we have a crisis. I don't believe that's true. I do not believe that's true. I just don't think that we are involved enough to actually cause a problem. I think that most Americans want more gun regulation. I think most Americans believe that there is a climate crisis, but I also believe that we are lazy and we do not do our best to impact elections. And not even just elections, but just, you know, make a phone call. Hey, man. Hey, Mr. Congressman. I care about this. Can you please do right by me and right by my kids? I just think we're very comfortable. And we're in our own bubble. And we walk down the street, Chicago, Illinois, or wherever you're listening from, it looks pretty comfortable. We're not. If you're in Miami, maybe you're feeling a little bit more scared. If you're in the Bahamas right now, maybe you're more in it. Chicago, looks pretty nice over here.
We have a great cleanup, clean city. I mean, you really don't see a lot of trash in our alleys. You don't see a lot of people throwing garbage on the streets. It's really nice here.
Yes, and we can do better. We're one of the worst recycling cities in the country. By the way, the Cubs lost 3-2. That means the Reds won 2 out of 3. That's disgusting. So the Cubs are 3 back of the Cardinals. Milwaukee did lose tonight, so they're tied with the Brewers for the second wild card spot. St. Louis is in here tomorrow, 4-game series. Bad loss for the Chicago Cubs tonight. All right, quick timeout. We'll get the news at the top of the hour. And then after 11 o'clock, Des Clark, former Chicago Bear, will be with me as we talk a little bit of Bears, Redskins, and Eddie Pinheiro, and a lot of Mitchell Trubisky. That's coming up, 720 WGN. 11:06, hope you're having a great Wednesday night. Mark Harmon with you on 720 WGN. Busy show tonight. Coming up after 11:30, Stu Weiss. I thought he was a steward. He's actually the Stu. Stu Weiss says he's an attorney, though, most importantly, with the law firm of Holland and Knight. And there is movement on the weed front out there, team. Marijuana is coming, and there are cities, or there are suburbs, rather, that are fighting to keep it out. Lake Forest wants no marijuana. No stores, no dispensaries. Is Lake Forest aware that the Chicago Bears practice in Lake Forest?
Ooh, yeah.
Tell me those NFL guys don't want some weed available downtown.
I wouldn't want to give that survey out. I think you would be very disappointed.
I mean, you telling me that some wealthy Lake Forestans wouldn't they like to be able to leave their mansion, drive to downtown Lake Forest, and buy themselves a, you know?
Yeah, come on, Lake Forest.
What's going on out there, Lake Forest?
Get with it. Haven't you ever seen a Cheech and Chong movie before? Nothing goes wrong.
Yeah, 312-981-7200. You people, you suburbanites out there, do you want weed in your suburb? Do you want to be able to go downtown? You Napervillians, you Aurorians.
You know, that's funny you say that, because it would be really interesting to see if each pocketed town would have their own store. I don't know.
That's what it is.
I don't know about that. I don't know how I feel, because it's with Vegas and stuff in L.A., it's like a destination. Like, you don't see suburban Henderson having, like, in Las Vegas, their own spots. Like, it's kind of, you need to go to a place to get it.
Well, we'll see what Stu has to say about this, but it's not going to be, my understanding is that, you know, it's not going to be like some bar that you can just walk into and you can have a couple drinks and leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it goes down, because you can't get insurance for that. What you will have is a store where you can walk in, you can buy it, and then you can go home and have your fun.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to have like some, it's not going to be Amsterdam. We're going to have a bunch of cafes and everyone's going to be, I've never been to Amsterdam, but that's how I envision it.
I've been to Amsterdam. It's kind of like that.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
So that's not what's going to happen. So I'm like, what's up, Lake Forest? You don't want to be able to walk into downtown Lake Forest, and what do you care? It's not going to be on the streets. You're going to miss out on a bunch of dough. Now Lake Forest maybe doesn't need the dough, I guess. Anyways, so we'll get to that. All right, Des Clark, my man, is with us here on 720 WGN. Des, of course, the number two all-time leading receiver at the tight end position for your Chicago Bears. Bears a winner over the Denver Broncos. Eddie Pinheiro was named the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week, the 53-yard field goal that won it. But let's talk about this tight end position, Des. I mean, I think they're missing a Des Clark on this thing. When you see everyone's pointing at the quarterback, Trubisky, but you know, maybe he'd look at least a little bit better if he had a tight end to throw to. Do you see that position as something that they need some help?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Trey Burton, last year he had a really good season. I think he had like 54 catches or somewhere in that neighborhood. That's pretty good production for a tight end. But, you know, he's been sidelined with injuries. And the other guys, I really don't know. Shaheen, he's been there, but he's been injured. Haven't really seen much from him throughout his, two years and a couple games now. So there's no one else that I could really mention that I'll say, hey, I feel really confident in this tight end or the group as a whole at this point, because, like I said, Trey Burton, he's been injured here lately also.
Mitchell Trubisky needs some options here, Des. Guess what I'm getting at here. And I'm not, you know, making excuses for Mitch, because we can get to that. But that if Trey's hurt, that position, it's not a strength for the Bears right now. I would call it a weakness. And I don't – Adam Shaheen was a second-round draft pick, but he, you know, and he's a big guy, but he doesn't play like it.
Right, and – you're right. This is a weakness of the team, and that just hurts my heart to say the tight end position is a weakness, because for so long, you know, we've been a strength of the team, at least a solid part of the team. And this is the first year in a long time where we don't have, you know, a tight end or a group of tight ends, not just one, but a group of tight ends that's very, very reliable, that, you know, game in and game out, they're going to put up numbers. And, yeah, Shaheen, second-round draft pick. At this point, you have to say a disappointing second round draft pick, not because of anything outside of him just not being able to be healthy. And really, when he has been healthy, we've seen some flashes here and there, but not enough that you look back and say, you know what, that was a good second round pick.
Former Bear tight end Des Clark with us here, 720 WGN. Before we get to the quarterback, did you think Eddie Pinheiro was making the kick?
Man, so we just go back to last week, the week before Thursday, 4th and 10. As I seen him make that kick, I was like, okay, why didn't we do this a week or so ago against Green Bay? But you know what? That's what he is known for, having a strong leg. The accuracy, you know, we don't know until he actually kicks and attempts some of these field goals. So why not think that he's going to make it from 53, 54 yards? I mean, any good professional kicker should be able to make that 60, 65, 70% of the time. So, yeah, I thought he had a really good chance of making it, and he nailed it. And good for him, because all offseason, going through training camp and going through preseason, you know, he had a lot of pressure on him, and he still has a lot of pressure on him. But hopefully that's going to give him some confidence carried through the season.
I didn't think he was making it, just for the record. I didn't think that they got the timeout. I didn't think they were going to get through Buster Skrine jumping off sides. I had him 0-2. I had him 0-4. I thought the season was over, basically. It's a whole big turn. And I'm thrilled for the kid, and he's most definitely earned it, and I love his attitude and all of it. But I thought that this could have been one of the, this could have been, it's only, you know, game two of the year. But if you're sitting at 0-2 right now with the quarterback going the way he's going, whole lot of questions. They really, really, really are fortunate to be sitting at 1-1, and Eddie Pinheiro gets a ton of credit.
Yeah, he does. And I hear you mentioning the quarterback not getting going. I don't think this was a game that they even tried to get him going. My whole take on this game, even before the game, I was saying you need to run the ball against this team. They have a great pass rush. And if you think you're going to throw the ball 75% of the time against this team, it's going to be a long game. And Mitch did miss some throws, but overall, I don't think he played bad. He just didn't have opportunities to get downfield, and I think that was by design.
So you're not as down on the quarterback as many people are?
No, not after this game. I was more down on him after the first game, because I think this game – that the game plan was just different. You know, you're playing against a strong defense and you're trying to slow down that pass rush. And the way to do that is run the ball. And you could clearly see they had an emphasis on the run game this game. I would have liked to see some more play action passes, but they didn't do much to give him an opportunity to shine. And like I said, I think that was by design.
You don't think it's because the head coach doesn't trust the quarterback and he's going to try to somehow, some way get through the season with the defense?
Not against this defense, not against Denver. If there's another conservative game plan like this against the Redskins, a team that you don't fear their defense a little bit, then maybe I could see that. But I think this was a formula that they thought it was the right formula to beat a really good defense with a really good pass rush and one of the best corners in the NFL.
All right. One more question on the quarterback. When you're watching him, is he a guy that seems like he has command of the offense, or does it seem like he's in his first year? Because to me, I don't know if it's an intelligence thing, Des. And Des Clark, former Chicago Bear, joining us on 720 WGN. I hate to put that on guys, but it just seems like he should have a lot more digested than he does. Is that unfair?
No, that's not unfair. I think when you – I mean, just going back to the Green Bay game, I think you want to see more playmaking ability out of him. You want to see him, like you say, have more command of the offense. I think we have a pretty good play caller in our head coach, and we need to see our quarterback – take advantage of some of the opportunities that's out there, because there are opportunities out there to make some plays. he just has to deliver the ball. And we have playmakers. So it's not like, you know, he's throwing the ball to a below average receiving core. We have one of the better receiving cores in the league. We don't have that top guy, but when you combine all of our guys together, I mean, I'll take our 5-6 guys against just about anybody, 5 or 6 guys combined. So we have the talent. He's just got to make the plays and get the ball to the playmakers so they can make plays. So no, I don't think what you're saying is unfair to him. I think everybody will say, yeah, it's time for him to step up and start making bigger and better and more consistent plays.
Yeah, I just am wondering, is it a talent thing, or is it maybe he's just, you know, quarterback position, a lot going on. And I don't, you know, just to do that spot, you got to be super, super sharp up top. And sometimes with Mitch, I don't know if he's seeing the field the way you want him to. He locks in on receivers. Maybe that's a confidence thing. I'm not sure. But we'll see what he does this week against Washington. I want to completely focus all on the quarterback. You like this David Montgomery young man? He seems like he's shifty in the hole, Dez.
Man, I love him. I said that he, you know, from the beginning, after you heard some of the things coming out of Bourbon A and seeing some of the highlights and some of the runs in preseason, I figured he was going to be our back that we hand the ball to, you know, 15, 18 times a game. I was surprised in the first game that he didn't get as many carries, but the second game, you know, he was that guy, and I think he had something like 16, 17 carries somewhere in there. And I think that's what we're going to start seeing from him. He's our best running back inside of the tackles, and he has the shiftiness and the speed to get outside also. The guy, he looks pretty good, and when you're talking about how guys look on the field, when you say Mitch kind of looks, you know, like he doesn't have control of the offense all the time, when you look at this young rookie running back, he looks like he belongs out there. He looks like he's confident. He looks like that, you know, the game is not too fast for him, even in his second game as a rookie. So that's what you want to see. And I think we should keep feeding the young guy the ball because he's shown me enough anyway, but hey, I'm not there every day. So
we're all seeing the same thing. The dude's great in the hole and worker. You got to like everything about that pick. So congrats to you, Ryan Pace, on another good one. As we wrap up here, Dez, what scares you, if anything, about the Redskins?
You know what? Just the fact that nobody is really looking at them as being a good team. And coming into the season, the Chicago Bears, we're supposed to be a championship contender. And I think the guys still believe that, which they should believe that. They're 1-1. Lost a close game, won a close game. But you know, believing that you're a good team and then looking at a team that people are not looking at as a good team, you know, you could fall into that trap that, hey, you know, even though we haven't played well, we should beat this team, and going out having that mindset and not actually executing and saying, you know what, we're not that good right now, so we can't look at any other team and think that we're better than them until we start proving it on a consistent basis. That's what scares me about this Redskins team, because it's nothing about the Redskins that really scares me. It's more so about what type of mindset the Chicago Bears are going to go into that Monday night game having against a subpar team.
Yeah, and when you just wrap up here on the quarterback, once it starts going downhill and that confidence gets shaken, it's not that easy to get it back, right? I mean, he's a great start, or listen, opening drive down the field could do wonders for Mitch Trubisky.
I'll say this about this game. This is a game where you're playing against a team that the defense is not great, that Mitch needs to put up numbers. If he doesn't put up numbers in this game, and you see it's clearly because he wasn't making the plays, now I think this is a game where you could be a little bit more concerned about your quarterback. If he can't put up numbers against this team, and it's primarily on him. I mean, if the guys are dropping passes, or you know he's getting sacked 5 times, you know that's not necessarily all on him. But if everything is there for him to make plays, and he doesn't make plays against this team, Now we got to start the question, hey, is he ever going to take that next step?
It's out there. We'll see. We killed him on the postgame show. And when I say we, I mainly mean Dan Hampton, Ed Obradovich, and Glenn Kozlowski. But I didn't stop him, Des. I didn't get in the way. So I'll own my part. Hey,
this is the game. But this is the game right here that I think we should look at him and say, all right, it's time to step up.
All right.
And if he doesn't step up this game, now the questions, I believe, are more legitimate than playing against two really – tough defenses, with the first game being against Green Bay and the second game being against a top-flight defense in Denver.
Yeah. All right. Well, I look forward to talking with you next week, and I always appreciate the time. Let's see if the Bears can get to 2-1. Des Clark, former Bear tight end, joining us on 720 WGN. Des, good to talk to you.
Always good to talk to you also, Mark. Have a good rest of the show.
Quick timeout. I love you still. Anytime you're playing Tom Petty, I do need to know. Did you have a cheeseburger today, buddy?
I did not.
You know, it's National Cheeseburger Day. Chicago Tribune ranked the top 25 cheeseburgers in the city. Want to guess at what was number one?
Well, usually it's Au Cheval.
Not in this case. Never even heard of this place.
Whoa. Now I'm really enticed because I'm a big burger fan. And I know that some of our engineers are here, too.
It's called, well, the Tribune's ranking the Burger at Table Donkey and Stick. 2728 West Armitage.
That place does not exist. Donkey and Stick?
That's what it says here. Website tabledonkeystick.com. Table Donkey Stick. Looks good. I'm on there right now. Let's check out the old menu.
Yeah, what makes it so good? Is it
well, let's see
big?
What the Trib says. Trib says here, I had what can only be described as a burger awakening at Table Donkey and Stick. Like any meat-eating American over the years, I developed entrenched burger preferences, which could lead me to dismiss a burger before I even took a bite. Then I stumbled into this miniature Logan Square restaurant and realized that the best burger universe was vast and full of wonder beyond my understanding. This is a little over the top here, team. I'm not a proponent of pretzel buns because they tend to be dense and tough. I'm with you on that, sir. But this one is astonishingly light, compressing at the slightest touch. The roasted onion shiitake mushrooms add a deep savoriness and an earthy sweetness that already sings bass notes like Barry White in his 1970s prime. We're going big time here. Table Donkey
Love
and
it.
Stick. The Loyalist Cheeseburger was number two. Never been there. Number three. I haven't had any of these burgers. Slagle Farms Beef Burger at Owen and Engine. That's on Ashland, is it? No, it's on Western.
Okay, that I know that burger. That has a good reputation there.
What about the double fatso with cheese at Fatso's Last Stand?
Yeah, that's another good one. Late night food, late night spot right there.
Is that like late night 1 a.m.? They're still open? I could get it after this?
Yeah, they might be open there.
Really?
It's a great spot. Sloppy burger.
Now it's National Cheeseburger Day. I am a reducitarian, so I did not have a cheeseburger today. That's what I'm talking about.
What's a reducitarian?
Reducitarian means I ate less meat.
Oh.
I'm not a vegetarian. I'm not a vegan. I'm a reducitarian.
Mm.
Went no meat today.
Elizabeth Alfano would be very proud of you, Mark.
She would. She's efforting getting back on the show. I'm looking forward to having Elizabeth on. We're going to film a video or something. She wants to do that vegan ice cream tasting.
Ooh.
Yeah. For the record, I am curious. 720 WGN, best burger that you enjoy either in the city of Chicago or in the suburbs, downstate, wherever you're at. Really don't care. Listening online in Botswana. It's National Cheeseburger Day. Tribune went deep. Top 25 burgers. Or top 20, rather. I'm sorry. Prime burger at Stefani Prime. Too expensive for me. $15. Can't do it. Half pound cheeseburger at Hamburgergia. Never heard of it.
I love how just the price alone, you're just like, not a good burger.
I mean, maybe it is, but I'm not paying $15 for a burger. Well, I would, but I mean, that's single patty at Bernie's Uptown, $8, 545 North Milwaukee in Libertyville. I don't know if it's worth the whole trip out to Libertyville for that burger, but that's interesting. The classic MOOV at Burger Move Event, $6.09. A slick little quick service shop in Elmwood Park.
I see. Now we're talking. $6.
Got to go to Elmwood Park. I'm down. Let's go. Let's see here. 2 3-ounce patties seared on a griddle. That sounds delicious. Slider at the Hoagie Hut. Where's the Hoagie Hut? In Waukegan, 2807 Grand Avenue in Waukegan. The cheeseburger at Charlie Beinlich's. Now we're cooking with gas. Now we're talking home base. $12 with fries. It's a good fry, too. A nice O'Rider fry. Shrimp cocktail up there is outstanding. 2 and 2 at the Sandlot. Never been to the Sandlot. $4.99. 1120 West Toohey Avenue in Park Ridge. Now that sounds delicious. The Richie Burger on a pretzel bun. You got a favorite burger over there, Michael Heinemann? Do you have one, Mr. Burger Man?
Well, I've tried most of... well, not most of these on the menu. It always updates itself into different places I've never even heard of before. But, I always loved the Kumo's Corner burgers because I loved how much meat and crazy flavors they jammed into those burgers. But lately, I don't know. I've been kind of going back and forth because a lot of people, I feel like the burgers are shrinking here in Chicago.
Shrinking burger.
An
epidemic.
It is. It's going. And I love to see these write-ups by the Chicago Tribune because they dive into it so eloquently with their writing. But most of the time, I don't know. I don't know if I have a favorite. I'd love to try the one at Bad Apple. I keep hearing that
Bad Apple's good.
Nice.
It's very good.
You've been there before and you have Bad Apple?
I have been to the Bad Apple. I recommend it.
Makes the list.
Text line 312-981-7200. Should you be celebrating burgers since cows are allegedly a huge contributor to climate change? You should be boycotting meat and exhaling. Well there, 815, I did not have a cheeseburger today. But I'm not trying to stop you from having one, and I've had many cheeseburgers in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So... You're right, though. I think we do need to put some limits on how many burgers we can have. We're not quite there yet, but that is an issue, sir. Thank you for listening. Appreciate you knowing me that well.
And at least they're paying attention to the show. I mean, they came around. That's a pretty well-thought-out text.
That is a good well-thought-out text. I appreciate it.
I'd like to know their favorite burger.
I do want your favorite burger there, 815. The West Coast Burger at Fuller House. See, that's the thing, too. You ask people, where's I love cheeseburgers. Where's your favorite burger? I don't know. Like, I was talking to G this morning. You know, if I'm going to get a burger, like, I'm going to go to the Billy Goat. The Billy Goat? I mean, I'm not going to turn my nose up at eating that burger.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a player in the game here now. That's like saying, I don't know, like Crystal Light makes good lemonade or something. I don't know. It's just not. It's not in the game.
So I do have a favorite burger now that I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
There's this place in Wisconsin outside of Milwaukee, and they've always made this kind of flat steamed burger that I just crave whenever I'm thinking. Whenever I go buy it, I need to stop there and get their burger, and it's this place called Cops in Milwaukee.
Oh, I know Cops.
You know Cops?
I know Cops.
Known for their great ice cream, a great custard. Yeah. Just like an old, it looks like an old factory. That they're working. Everyone's in the old fashioned 1950s get up and everything, but that burger, ooh, that takes me back.
I'm with you. I'm feeling you.
That's a good one.
You're there. You're there. I don't mind a Major Goolsby's up there.
Yeah. Major Goolsby's is great too.
Not a
chicken
bad
wings.
Look. Yep.
Sit there while wait for the Bucks game to go on.
Exactly right. that's the look. The local burger, the Burger Local, don't know that one. That's in Geneva. The V Burger at the VIE, $19 with fries.
Whoa
is right. This is out in Western Springs.
Jeez.
These people have, I mean, the Tribune, you've made an effort here. The burger at Abigail's in Highland Park? Wow. That's an aggressive take there. I would never have thought that. Char burger with Merck's cheddar at the Paradise Pup. Anything with Merck's cheddar is amazing, which that would...
Agreed.
Shout out to RJ Grunts. They do a great job using Merck's cheddar over there. Long time. Let us entertain you. The bacon burger at Carnivore. I'm not a big fan of bacon on my burger. I know that makes people unhappy, but... Like, it just... You're changing the whole flavor of the meat if you throw in bacon on there. That's just me.
Yeah, and it has to be the right kind of bacon. I know Acheval, like, you can bite through that bacon, it's kind of melty, then that's good. But
I think I mean, if I go to Acheval, I think I got to try it. I've never been.
Oh, you've never been to Acheval?
Nope. Bad job. Should be fired right now. I've been taken off the air for that. How can you be on the air in Chicago and never gone to Acheval?
No, the wait alone would make you wait there for 3 hours for a hamburger.
But, I mean, that's the commitment you got to make. They put Acheval at where do they have Acheval here? Are they really not listing Acheval?
I think that they put them on the honorable mention list on the bottom.
What kind of malarkey is that? Come on, Tribune, you can't be doing that.
Go from number one to honorable mention. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't seem right. All right, take a quick timeout. Come on back here, David Ross, a former Cub. How do the Cubs lose 2 out of 3 to the Reds? And what's going on with John Lester? And does he want to be the manager of the Cubs? David Ross is next on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Always a thrill to bring in a hero in this town. David Ross won a World Series with the Cubs in 2016. Thank you for taking time tonight and doing some great work with diapers. We'll hit on that. But... Cubs lose tonight. They lost 2 of 3 to the Reds. They're 3 back of the Cardinals, tied for the second wild card. Dave, great to talk to you. Do you think that this Cub team has a 5th straight playoff appearance in them?
Man, good question. Well, they've kind of exceeded expectations with Javi down for sure, and now Riz going down. I mean, Nico Horner really been a spark for the lineup. This kid can really play, and you just kind of fall in love with watching him play. And Yu Darvish has really stepped up. I think they've got to get their pitching locked in. If John Lester and Cole Hamels start to throw a little bit better, I definitely think they got a chance and could probably go deep if the starting pitching pitches the way it's capable of.
It's fair to say that you probably never would have been a Cub if you and John Lester didn't have the bond that you had, right?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, this guy, I mean, beyond baseball, this guy's done so much for me and my family. But, of course, we create a great relationship and in Boston and winning that championship and kind of getting paired up, especially down the stretch in 13. And then he had such a good year in 14 before he got traded. And then him just, you know, being that part of telling Theo and Jed and bringing me over was huge. I owe so much to him and the guys in general. And Mike, I mean, you know my stats, Mark. I don't have any crazy stats to jump off the table, but it's kind of cool that you know, people embrace me, especially the city of Chicago, and being able to do a lot of this stuff here, like this event with Huggies and Walgreens and Cradles to Crayons is really unique to me. Being able to help out and give back is special to me. So it all comes back to those guys that really lifted me up and put me on that pedestal.
250,000 diapers here, David Ross. That's not nothing.
How about that, man? I know. It's pretty cool when you get to see these numbers. I mean, I think when you're blessed like I have been and we are in the baseball world, you take for granted simple things like diapers, and you see these stats like 1 in 3 families in the U.S. without diapers and in need of diapers and having to miss school and work and not being able to go because they don't have enough clean diapers. It's crazy to me. And so just being a part of this and raising awareness to do stuff like this with Huggies and Walgreens and Cradles to Crayons is cool. $10,000 they're giving, 250,000 wipes, and over 2 million nationally. So, I mean, that's when you see those numbers and I read these stats, when I get this information, it just blows my mind.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have always given back a ton. John with the Never Quit and Anthony Rizzo doing stuff for Lurie Children's, and this is awesome too. Let me go back to Lester. If you were working with him right now, what you're seeing, David, how would you get him locked in, if anything?
Well, I talked to him yesterday, actually. I think it's just a little bit. What happens at the back end of your career sometimes is some, you know, you grind in and one little thing goes wrong. You make an error, and they haven't been great defensively. Like, you start to manipulate the ball. You know, John doesn't throw like 96 like he used to when I first started catching him. So, you know, when a couple things go wrong in the air behind you, it's a little bit tougher to get out of traffic and limit the damage. So I think for him, it's just getting downhill, throwing, getting that fastball command has always been key for him. When he's getting that angle on his fastball. And I've talked to him about all this. He knows it's you know, keeping his posture. And the guys with the Cubs, with Mike Borzello, Tommy Hotovy, the pitching coach, those guys, we have conversations every once in a while. They know all his tendencies from the years of being with him, and he knows. And I just like to be a sounding board every once in a while to him and what he might be seeing or thinking or feeling.
So some people are saying Lester's cooked, and I'm like, I wouldn't go that far, especially this time of year. Somehow, some way, I feel like that guy's going to find it.
But there you go. You. I mean, the resume speaks for itself, and you know, you're probably one of the unique ones in that realm. Everybody wants to just see, you know, and be negative when a guy's struggling. It's about finding your confidence. I know one thing: when this guy's pitching as many big games as anybody, especially when it comes to postseason time, and been that guy you want to give the ball to take you to the promised land. I mean, I don't have two rings without John Lester, so I'm extremely confident when he's on the mound for the team he's pitching for. This guy's resume speaks for himself, so you're exactly right.
Where are you at, David, as far as your desire to get back in the dugout? Are you feeling that itch at all?
Man, great question. I think that's one of those things that it's going to have to be the right opportunity to come back for me. You know, for the most part, I live a pretty good life. The TV stuff is really fun to call baseball games. You know, I've got, you know, 50 days with ESPN that I work. I get to poke my head into the draft and go to spring training with the Cubs and be a part of cool events in Chicago like this. You know, so things are pretty good. I've got small kids at home. I've got a 12-year-old daughter and you know, and a 10-year-old son and a 4-year-old. So when you're talking about, like, this diaper need and all these things that hit home, I think that it goes back to, like, what's the opportunity to get out of this lifestyle I live now and to get back in the game. But I'll tell you, my heart definitely itches to get in that dugout at times and be a part of something special that I've been a part of before. So there's a push-pull for sure, and it's going to have to be a unique opportunity that would pull me away from my family and the sacrifices you make to be in the major leagues.
I mean, that rumor is just out there every day. And for the record, I mean, I don't think the Cubs should be moving on from Joe Maddon. But
me either. For the record,
right? But if they do, then it's you. And people are saying that the next manager of the Chicago Cubs, David Ross. Like, when you see that, what's your reaction?
I think there must be idiots writing these articles. I don't know, man. Like, it's a honestly, like, all joking aside, like, it's a huge honor, right? Like, somebody thinks about, people think you're the best guy for a job to run an organization and such a prominent organization. I mean, it's a huge honor. But I go back to, people have no idea what Joe Maddon has brought to the team, what he's done, his resume. The grass isn't always greener. You know, do I one day have an itch to manage? You know, that's definitely crossed my mind, especially with all the rumors that fly around. And do I want to put my stamp on a team and the things I believe in? Of course, like, you see things. I mean, I think even as a casual fan, you start to want to kind of do things your way. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's all about opportunity. I think when you have to give up and sacrifice family time, and it's got to be worth it. You know, it's got to be worth your while to get back in the dugout. You got to have a passion for it, because I don't do things halfway. I go all in, and so that's a huge commitment from me. But it's definitely flattering to hear those rumors.
Do you look at this team like they've underachieved? I mean, the guys in there will say we have all this talent, but on the other hand, you know, baseball's hard. There's a lot. The other teams try to beat you,
and that's the category I fall into. Like, baseball's hard. I don't care what the numbers tell you and what the expectations are. Baseball is really hard. And you know, I think there's an underachieving. What does that even mean? Like, I know I watch these guys play, and they lay it on the line night in and night out. I watch them probably closer than I do the rest of the world, baseball world. And so I think baseball is very, very, very difficult. And so that's kind of the category I fall under.
And last one for you. There was a game last night that lasted 6 hours. The Giants are playing, 24 pitching changes. You've got teams trying to load up and hit homers every day. The Minnesota Twins have 5 guys with 30 home runs, which has never happened before. Do we need to change any of the rules in baseball in your mind?
Oh, man. I think I leave those things, those important things, to people smarter than me. But I definitely think as a fan now, like when I'm playing, I don't want, when I was playing, I didn't want the game messed with. Don't mess with my game. I love the game. I know how it plays out and how to win. Now, when I watch the game, I definitely feel like it's, you know, can be kind of gruesome to watch at times. It gets a little long. The pitching changes. It's not a fun game to watch night in and night out. I root for people a lot of the times too. So, you know, I watch the game a little bit differently than maybe a casual fan root for a certain organization, but, definitely something needs to what, I'll tell you this, Mark, when I do the Little League World Series for ESPN, yeah. It's my favorite thing that we do. The games are fast. The kids are unique. The ball's put in play. There's great defense, and it's six innings. And I swear, like, the fourth inning matters is a big deal. Like, I love doing the games. I love watching the games. I think it's fun. People are tuning in at home. So I'm not saying you change Major League Baseball to six innings. I'm just saying something needs to change where it's exciting and, you know, the third, fourth, fifth inning matter.
David Ross, you're awesome. I'm up against the clock here. Thanks for taking time. Talk to you soon. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. That's right. We're talking about the wacky tobacco, a little bit of marijuana, and what it means to your community in this amazing state that we live in, the beautiful state of Illinois. Stu Weiss is an attorney. He's with the law firm of Holland and Knight here in Chicago. He's also the village attorney and general counsel for a number of cities and villages up on the North Shore and the Northwest suburbs. And Stu specializes in zoning, and he's been counseling municipalities across the state, and he joins us now at 720 WGN. Stu, thank you for taking time.
Yeah, great to be here.
So where are we at right now, Stu? I know come January 1 it's going to be legal, but all these municipalities, the Glencos and the Lake Forests, and I'm sure a bunch of others, are all trying to figure out what this means for their community, and you're kind of on the front lines here. So if you were to, like, just to give a, I don't know, a bird's eye view of where exactly we're at right now, what would you say?
Well, you know, there's a lot of tracks that are moving all at once, and you've got the state figuring out how they're going to regulate all these types of businesses, and then every community has to figure out what is the right fit for them. Cities and villages in Illinois have been given a lot of discretion as to whether they want to allow cannabis businesses within their borders.
Okay, so you know, I feel like we need to start at the beginning. Medical marijuana dispensaries will be the only, and I don't want to get too technical here, but they'll be the only legal sellers of marijuana for recreational use come in January of next year, January 2020. So what does that mean? I mean, are individual suburbs allowed to have a dispensary? Is the state going to make a decision that they're placed there, and this and the a suburb could say has no say in it? How is that going to work?
Yeah, this is really one of the most interesting parts of the law, because you've had these medical dispensaries that have been operating since the medical cannabis program, which was a pilot program that started in 2013. These businesses have been operating in communities all across Illinois. There's about 55 or 56. I can never remember the exact number. And they've been, I don't want to say operating under the radar, but they've been operating in a pretty low-key fashion. There's only about 50,000 registered qualifying patients who use medical marijuana in Illinois, and those facilities that sell to them have been selling pretty quietly without a lot of problems, without making a lot of noise, and they've been doing it in a way that most of the communities that they're located in barely even notice.
Right. I was going to say, like, we don't even know that they're there. Keep going.
Yeah, so the state looked at these operators and said they're doing a pretty good job. They know how to track their inventory. They know how to run a security system. They know how to vet who should be in the dispensary and who shouldn't. And the decision was made that the first people out of the gate to sell to recreational, and when I say recreational, any adult over the age of 21, it's going to be the same as liquor. So the first people who should be allowed to do this that the state trusted is these people who are currently selling medical cannabis. And so those 55, 56 operators are going to be allowed to sell to the recreational market if the communities that they're in let them. Now, this is kind of a really interesting thing, that when the recreational law was passed, one of the decisions that was made was to let communities make the decision whether they were going to allow recreational cannabis sellers operate in their towns or not. That includes towns that already have a medical dispensary. So you're going to have this weird situation in some communities where you have a medical dispensary that's been operating, that's been a good business in the community, hasn't made any trouble, has been determined by the state to be a good actor, and someone who would be the perfect business to start up this recreational market that they could trust, and they would not be allowed to by local law. And there are some communities where this is happening. In Naperville, for instance, you have a dispensary that has been operating for a number of years, and the Naperville City Council has made a determination that they don't want to let that facility expand into to sell to the recreational market. And they're completely within their rights under the law to do that.
So I'm just, and you're an attorney, and you're not, you know, you're not in on their business meetings, but if you had to speculate, why would they allow it for medicinal purposes, but now it's going to be recreational? No, we can't have that, when in theory, I would think that Naperville could make a lot of dough off of that.
They could, and I think one of the reasons is that they've looked at problems in other states. They probably heard stories about the fact that Colorado has more dispensaries than it does Starbucks. And it does, actually. It has about 1,000 licensed dispensaries and only 400 Starbucks. They're not counting all, you know, the smaller coffee shops that I'd probably be a patron of. But they're also worried about there being a huge influx of customers and people consuming on their streets in downtown. There's a lot of fear involved because, I mean, we have to admit, this is a big societal shift for us. This is something that for all of our lives has been an illegal prohibited substance. And as of January 1st, it's going to be less controlled than cough medicine with pseudoephedrine. And so I'm not surprised that communities either are deciding to ban this outright or saying maybe we don't need to be the first. Maybe we take a year to see what happens, put a moratorium on it, see what happens in other communities. What happened in Naperville, there were some city council members who were leaning towards yes. There were some who were leaning towards no. And a very large crowd came out and made very impassioned statements about what the character of their community is. You can't argue with that to a certain extent. And I think the drafters of the law agreed with that. And they decided that every community would have to make an individual decision as to whether this was going to fit into their community's character.
Okay, but it's legal in the state. So I could, right, use marijuana recreationally at home. And then I can go out to dinner in Naperville, right? And have my steak, lobster, cheeseburger, whatever. And there's nothing illegal about that. So
as long as you didn't drive in an impaired state, no.
Right. So my wife or my friend drove me over, or I wasn't in
Uber or Lyft.
Or Uber, right? Uber, Lyft, same thing as drinking. And if you're in Naperville, surrounding suburbs are legal, so they're making the money, and then people are coming into your town. I guess maybe you just don't want them walking around down Main Street. But in this case, we're just talking about a dispensary. We're not even talking about, you know, an actual shop, correct?
Yeah, and that's one of the other distinctions, is that there are some misconceptions about what actually can happen in a dispensary. In a dispensary in Illinois, you can only buy product. You can't consume product in the dispensary. You can't consume it in the parking lot. You can't consume it on the sidewalk. I think that some people may have a misconception that you're going to have pot bars or, you know, the kind of coffee shops, as they call them in Amsterdam, where people would be consuming on premises. And although the Illinois law says that that could happen, it would be completely up to the local municipality whether they wanted to allow that or not. And when I've spoken to folks who do my kind of work in Colorado, that type of business, although permitted, has not really turned out to be something that many businesses want to get involved in, for a very simple reason, is that you can't get insurance for it. You know, every tavern in Illinois has to have dram shop insurance, has to have liability insurance that protects them if someone gets overserved, gets drunk, drives out, gets out on the road and hurts somebody. There's no comparable insurance for cannabis. And so very few places in the U.S. will allow you to actually consume cannabis on premises. And that's getting a little technical, but that's one of the big fears that I think communities have.
Well, that's a huge deal, though, because I think everyone is under the impression that we're going to have these pot bars where smoke's going to be billowing out into the streets, and it's going to, you know, impact somebody just who's, you know, out to eat, and they're like, oh my God, it smells like weed. But you're saying that it's probably not going to look like that. Am I hearing that right?
Yeah, the city of Denver has allowed these types of businesses for the past 3 years. Only two businesses have ever come in to get a permit to operate, and one of them closed. And so you just don't see this as a business model that really any investor wants to take a risk on. They'd rather just sell the product, tell you to go home and enjoy yourself.
So that's what you think it looks like. This is going to be something that's legal, but people are going to go home and they're going to hang in their backyard or whatever in their apartment and get high, and that'll be it. It's not going to be as pervasive as some are worried about.
Well, you know, I tell my clients, I live in the city and I ride the L 3 days a week. And, you know, there's a lot of people on the red line who have not gotten the message that gotten the memo that you can't, that it's not legal yet. So right now, I think there will be a natural increase and probably a spike in public consumption that's going to happen right when it's legalized.
Yep.
But when you look at what's happened in other places like Washington and Oregon and Colorado, after that initial spike, it calms down and people treat it like liquor. If you don't see people, except on certain weekends, in Chicago, you don't see people walking around with red Solo cups or bottles and bags.
Right.
That's not a pervasive problem, and especially not one in a lot of the suburbs.
Stu Weiss, attorney with the law firm Holland & Knight, with us here on 720 WGN for a couple more minutes as we process what's coming down with Illinois and the legalization for recreational use of marijuana. So, all right. Beginning, by the way, just to, so people understand, I just want to get this out there. Beginning in mid-2020, Illinois is going to grant additional license to dozens of new stores, processors, cultivators, transporters. 295 stores are expected by 2022. But when I'm reading that now and listening to you, that just means places where you're going to be able to go and buy it. It's not places that you're going to be able, you're really going to be hanging out. But let me add this question in, Stu, and I'm a little confused by this. Because if I was an insurance company and I'm insuring a bar, I'd feel a lot more comfortable insuring somebody who's going out to smoke a little bit of weed than somebody who's going into a bar on a Friday afternoon who's had a rough week and is about to have five whiskeys. You know, I mean, if I was an insurance company, I'd be like, I'll insure the weed place. How come they won't do it?
And the big answer is the same answer that you can't use a credit card at a dispensary. And these places can't bank with nationally chartered FDIC-insured financial institutions. This product is going to be legal within the state of Illinois. It's not legal under federal government law. And so what that means is that taking any of the product out of state, taking dollars from out of state or across state lines, using services from national firms like insurance companies that are regulated by the federal government. These big financial firms are not getting into this business because the federal government still considers this to be a Schedule I drug, which is highly addictive, according to them, which is on the same schedule as heroin and other hard drugs. And so although your personal experience or the experience of, people throughout the state may find it to be less pernicious than alcohol, right now it's not a business that national financial firms can get into.
So you're telling me that when you're going into a store in 2020, you're going to have to pay with cash?
As of right now, yes.
Wow.
All these dispensaries are cash-only businesses. Some dispensaries actually will have ATMs on their sales floor. Someone will go withdraw cash, turn around, walk 5 paces, sit down with a purchasing agent, give them the cash. I don't believe the cash goes back into the ATM. And then that cash is then put into vaults and safes, along with all the inventory as well. These dispensaries are built out kind of like currency exchanges. They have reinforced walls. They have rooms that are basically vaults with safes inside them where they keep their cash, and they also keep all their inventory at night.
Wow. Okay. Here, let's wrap up with Chicago. And Mayor Lori Lightfoot is introducing tomorrow, there's an ordinance to establish Chicago's first zoning regulations for the sale of adult-use cannabis. So the ordinance is going to establish 7 cannabis zones across the city. What do we know about this, Stu? I mean, what is she trying to do?
Well, what I think she's trying to do is she's trying to figure out a rational way to keep a lid on the number of these dispensaries and also make sure that they're distributed throughout the city. And the mayor has made it a priority to ensure that underinvested or disinvested communities get assistance from the city. And so there are these 7 zones, include the far south side, south of 87th Street, the south side, west side, and each of these zones will get the potential to have 7 dispensaries as of January 1st. And then about halfway through the year, another 7 will be licenses will potentially be opened up. So you're talking by the end of next year, up to 49 dispensaries. Now, whether they're going to be able to find 49 responsible business owners who can meet all the state requirements, who can pay the exorbitant license fees to the state, upwards of 6 figures just to get in the door, we don't know. But the potential will be that there could be up to about 50 dispensaries kind of sprinkled throughout the city by the end of next year.
We've come a long way, and it sounds like we still got a ways to go to figure all this out. But anyway, the process is on here. Stu Weiss, attorney for the law firm of Holland and Knight, and serving as the village attorney, general counsel for a bunch of city and villages, joining us on WGN. Last question, Stu. Who's been? What village have you dealt with that's the most opposed to this?
Well, there have been a number of my communities who have said that this is not something that we want to have, we want to have the businesses, but I haven't had any community ask me, can we stop people from smoking marijuana? I think everybody realizes that times are changing and that, now it's a matter of personal choice.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of communities that are looking to ban it, but we'll see what happens when the tax revenue starts coming in.
I bet that might change some people's opinions. Hey, Stu, appreciate you taking time tonight. Enjoyed the conversation. And as this continues to unfold, look forward to having you on down the line.
Great talking to you.
That is Stu Weiss. This is Reactions. Love to hear your thoughts on this. Do you want it in your community? 312-981-7200. It's 720 WGN. in the wacky tabacky conversation in here. Thanks to Stu for joining us. Hope you're having a great either end to your day or start to Thursday. Got news at the bottom of the hour. Let me get JR real quick in here. 312-981-7200. Do you want weed in your community? Wherever you live, do you want to be able to walk down, call it Main Street, be able to purchase the wacky tabacky?
Fine by me. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, JR, you know, it's fine by you?
Well, basically, that's not the problem. You know what I don't like about the whole conversation and, you know, the whole, it seems like the green rush where everybody's making out. It's just another thing where the big companies are going to be making money. I mean, seriously. Yeah. Come on. I'm not an advocate where I say, like, everybody who smokes pot is cool. I think that pot has a lot of damage. It does a lot of damage to people.
Uh-huh.
It really does. I'm not the type of person that thinks that it's healthy. You know, it has some health benefits, but it does a lot of damage. It really does.
You weed smoker, JR?
Not anymore. I was when I was in high school.
Back in the day.
I'm 40 now, so.
You think you'll be tempted now at the age of 40 if you're walking down wherever you are and you can walk in and buy it?
Yeah, absolutely. I will absolutely be tempted, and I will walk in and, you know, I might buy a little, but it's not going to be something where it's, you know, a temptation I can't resist. You know, it would be an interesting thing to me. But, you know, I just caught the tail end of your conversation earlier, so I called in.
I appreciate it, JR. Listen, me and you can pool our considerable dollars. We'll rub a couple nickels together, and then me and you are going to buy one so the rich guys don't make all the money, all right?
Okay, my man. Sorry if I didn't contribute.
You contributed, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
All right, bye.
Yep, have a good night. 312-981-7200. Let me take a quick time out. We can continue the conversation after the 12:30 news on 720 WGN. Seems like the right time of day. Have a good marijuana discussion. Thanks to Stu, weed is coming to a city near you, suburb, municipality, town, January 1, 2020, recreational use in Illinois. All right. If you listen to the conversation, I'm curious what people think. Do you want it down the block from you? Do you want to be able to walk in and experience a marijuana-style bar, perhaps? Doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. 312-981-7200. What are the thoughts out there? Just for myself, real quick. It's not for me. Back in the day, back in the college days, I certainly have had my share of experiences, but it always made me paranoid. Now, if it's really right down the street and I'm walking by, and I'm not going to lose my job at WGN, which I don't think that would be the case, I probably would be tempted to go in one time, two times, and see what's going on. I don't know. It does change things. I also am of the belief, talking out of both sides of my mouth, look, if you want to smoke marijuana, you're going to smoke marijuana. You're going to go out and you're going to find it. But on the other hand, for somebody who's super, 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 like back in the day casual, if it pops up on the corner, maybe I would try it. Now, so what? Like, what does that mean? Is the world all of a sudden a more dangerous place? I don't think so. Will there be a lot of tax money from it? I would say yes. So I still worry that we're going to have weed, and yet we're still going to pay the same in property taxes, and we're really not going to see any benefit, and the schools won't be any better, and we'll be in the same place, but we'll just have more money that somehow will be wasted. I hope that won't be the case. Let's get Patrick in here. Patrick, welcome to WGN, 312-981-7200. What do you got, Patrick?
All right, so let's start with the, the effect of marijuana.
Okay.
On most people, I think the paranoia is because they're law-abiding citizens and they're doing something illegal. That makes you paranoid. I'm just saying, it could be everybody's different, like everything in life. things affect people differently, right?
Okay.
Second off, when was the last time you were around somebody who smoked a joint and all of a sudden got weed muscles? And you know what I mean when I say weed muscles, a.k.a. bear muscles.
I don't know if those are the same muscles, Patrick. I think that's different.
No, but that's what I'm saying is how many people that get drunk, some people it affects differently. Some people are like, hey, you know, how you doing? Some people are like, what did you say to me? Let's go. Let's throw it out, right? Those are bear muscles. That's what that's called. When you drink, you get bear muscles. You want to fight everybody. You think you're a rock star. You can knock anybody out.
Right.
That's what that's called.
So what are muscles are we worried about with weed? That everyone's going to be driving slowly? Or where are we going here?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
It affects everybody differently. But it's been proven 100 times that it's way more safer. It's a natural thing, first off. It's a natural drug. You don't have to touch it, and you can make so many things out of it. I'm just going to the point here.
Yeah, bottom line this morning, Patrick. Go ahead.
Bottom line is I've smoked for 25, 30 years.
Okay.
And I clearly do not sound like a pothead. I could be wrong. I've had a couple drinks, but I'm not a pothead. Like, I don't sound like a pothead. People don't talk to me and be like, oh, you're high. Because I'm always high. Okay, second off, my mom used to bust my butt when I was a kid. Marijuana's so bad, blah, 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 because the government told her that. You know, her dad was in the Army. She believed whatever the government told her.
Okay.
So fast forward to 4 years ago, she had cancer, fought it normally, did everything normal, suffered from chemotherapy, and just toughed it out. Second time she got cancer, she did chemotherapy. The third day, she was back in the hospital, and I'm done. I'm like, you can do your chemotherapy, but we're not doing the medical regulated drugs that are supposed to bring you back so you can be normal. I'm like, I'm going to get you some medical stuff. My buddy makes his own cookies. I brought her a couple cookies. She loved it, and it got her appetite back. She could be normal. She wasn't suffering. And now I told her, I'm like, listen, you're 75 years old. Go get your green card so you can smoke, and it will relax and help you heal. And since she has done that, my mom has made a full recovery, and thank God is cancer-free. Again, marijuana, if you look it up, marijuana was proven to fight and kill cancer cells in the 40s. But because you can grow it yourself, how is Big Pharma going to make money off of that? And lastly, the taxes. I will never buy pot. You can put pot stores on every corner of my house, on my street.
Yeah.
I'll never buy pot. I'll never buy pot there. I'll go to my dealer, and he'll give me pot for tax-free. And same thing, perfect example, I'm not paying taxes on that, and I'm not getting raped on the Cook County taxes for cigarettes. I live in Cook County. I go to Page County for my cigarettes. It's literally $40 cheaper for a carton.
All right. Hey, so, Patrick.
I love you.
You're
awesome
in.
Awesome show.
Thank you. I appreciate the phone call, and I get it. You are a full-on weed supporter.
I do not, like I said, everybody affects everybody different, like you said.
Yep.
When you smoked it, it got you paranoid. And yes, what's the worst benefit? What's the worst thing that's going to happen when pot is legal that you can think of?
Yeah.
What's, you know.
I got it, Patrick. I'm going to put you on hold because I got a bunch of callers who want to get in here. Look. I'm further down the line than just marijuana. I would legalize more drugs. If you're asking me what I would do, I would, let's legalize the weed and let's go further than that. And let's tax the living daylights out of it and let's create rehab centers and educate. Because I am a believer that if you want to do cocaine, you're going to go out and you're going to do cocaine. You know, I'm not doing that. It's illegal. That's very, very few people who think that way. So, That's just me. But so I'm not fighting you, Patrick. 312-981-7200. Mike, it says here you're against it. Tell me why.
I'm not buying a lot of what that last caller said, and I'm with the first caller who you put on right before the news.
Okay.
Listen, the fact that his mom went through all that, I'm battling cancer right now myself, and my doctor has tried to put me on it. And you know what? I haven't needed it. God bless. I'm very blessed to that point. And you know what? I was pretty bad almost 11 months ago. Been able to do fine without it. I have buddies who have been rolling around smoking marijuana for 30 years. Can't hold on to a good job. Have college degrees. Can't find their way because they're always high.
Mm-hmm.
I just got into an argument with a buddy of mine on a Friday afternoon at 11:30 in the morning. Had to stand there and smoke a joint in front of my commercial property. And I said, listen, bro, you really need that right now. Yeah, I do. Really? Then you've got a problem. And you know what? He tells me, they've all tried to tell me, well, you know, you should get on this. Well, I've been able to, fortunately, my as bad as I was, I've been able to, you know, like they say, everything affects everybody, you know, different ways. I'm with you. You know what? This thing, we're a long way off from fixing anything. You know, the fact that the government has figured out a way to, hey, you know what? We could put more money in our pockets and let's see where we are in 2021 in a year to see if it's benefited any of these communities.
Yep.
There's still going to be the illegal side of it. The street gangs aren't going to improve any better. Nothing's going to, you know, the schools. Look, I get it, what they're trying to do, but putting more drugs on the street, you already got to know, like he said, with alcohol and everything else. Hey, you know what? I've been around people who smoke weed in college and everywhere else, and they got stupid and wanted to fight too. So you know what? It's everything. But to put more drugs, and in Chicago, where they can say what they want, but we are the number one murder capital of the world now. I don't like to hear that about my city. But you know what? You want to make people more stupid? Congratulations, all you politicians. You just found another way to put more money in your pocket. Prove it to me in 2021 that this is really helping. Go put up more schools. Find a way to have more rehab centers. Get people out of prisons. Don't make the prison system another place where you can just make more money off of people and steal taxes from us that way.
All right.
Find another way to fix the system.
All right, I got you, Mike. I appreciate the phone call.
God bless.
Yep, God bless, brother. And congrats on everything you're doing, and it's great to hear that you're battling cancer. It seems like you're I don't know if you said you were in remission, but it seems like you're on the right track, so congratulations on that. The whole argument, a lot of times people will make, like our guy Patrick, make the argument, weed is great for you. It doesn't have to be great for you for it to be legal. McDonald's fries are not great for you. Alcohol is not great for you. There's a ton of stuff that's not good for you that is legal. So, I mean, I don't think you have to fly the flag like, this is great for you, it's going to cure cancer, it's going to do... It doesn't need to be that. People want to live their lives. They want to relax. They want to get high. Well, okay. And now, if you're in the privacy of your own home, or you're hanging out in a park, you're not bothering anyone, doesn't bother me. I don't think it should bother anyone. Now, if you're going to be a detriment to society and you're going to be driving around, you're going to cause all sorts of problems on the road, and worst case scenario, you're a drunk driver, you're killing someone, well, that's a problem. That's a huge, huge problem. But that's not really what we're talking about with weed here. And I'm more just interested, you know, especially if you live in the suburbs. Lake Forest doesn't want it, really? That's interesting. Glencoe... All these suburbs are having some significant conversations right now. I'm just curious where people are at, if they want it around where they live. Let me get Bill in here. Bill, welcome to WGN, 312-981-7200. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, what bothers me about this is that it seems like it priced out the poor. It seems like it's always the rich get richer. You know, these licensing fees, these exorbitant licensing fees of six figures and stuff. No poor people are going to be able to ever get, you know, involved in the legal part of it when they were the ones who were mostly getting arrested for it and stuff. You know, and it just seems like that's what it's just pricing out, you know, poor people to get started. You look at like the Kankakee area. It's a lot of farmland in the Kankakee area and a lot of poor people that got farmland, but they'll never be able to afford any licenses to start growing it for themselves.
Well, hey Bill, let me ask you a question. I hear what you're saying. Let's say that a poor person gets to work for one of the dispensaries and is making, you know, whatever salary, making some okay money, now starts learning the business. and decides that after saving up some dough, you know what, I'm going to go all in on this business because I understand it, and I'm going to open up my own place. I mean, that's not completely out of the realm of possibility, I wouldn't think, right?
Well, it seems like, you know, you're going for the old pull yourself up by the bootstrap philosophy, where it's people that already know how to grow and sell marijuana and are doing it illegally right now, have never been busted, don't have no criminal record, and fly under the radar. But because now the prices are so high, it should be, licensing fees should be like a liquor license. It shouldn't be this crazy licensing. And then something else, the price of the marijuana. They seem like the price of marijuana now is high because it's illegal. So why does this shit be still high? And it seems like the government, they all got their, you know, little greedy hands out like, ooh, we can make all this money. But really, in reality, if it's legal, the prices should go down, not go up.
Yeah,
and the prices shouldn't be the way they are now. The prices would go down, but the government is not going to want that because they're already figuring in all the cash they can pull in on it. So it just seems like all from the outset is corrupt and tainted. It's like the people that's going to get involved in it is going to be the cigarette companies, the beer manufacturers,
sure,
who already got all this money, and they'll be the ones that keep on making money. And all the poor people that were arrested and thrown in jail, they won't never be able to get involved with, or they get to work for somebody. But hell, you might want to be an entrepreneur.
All right.
You're probably an entrepreneur now. So why can't you be on the ground floor? I've heard in California.
Bill, hang on, my friend. Let me get a couple thoughts in here. I appreciate your phone call. Look, the rich getting richer. I hear what you're saying. That's the way of the world, and it doesn't make anyone feel good, right? I got you. There is also other sides. For as far as the poor side of it, a lot of people that are in jail for small, petty marijuana crimes that are going to get out, that's a win. And I don't know where you're getting the pricing. I haven't seen any prices. Stores aren't open. And that's going to be a supply and demand thing, right? There's a ton of weed out there. No one's buying it. The price is going to go down. But if we're buying it up and there isn't that much out there, well, it's going to be expensive. I'm not sure how the illegal market, what's going to happen there? People that are growing in their house and then selling it to their friends, I suppose that's not going away, but I don't know. If it's legal and it's produced and it's made right and the price is similar, wouldn't you go to a store and buy it that way? I don't know. Let me get Rich in here real quick. Rich, what do you got there, my friend?
Hey, I'm in an industry where there's you know, a lot of drug regulations. Like, I can't even take a Sudafed for a cold because it's possibly get a drug test as a truck driver.
Right. Okay.
So there's no way I'm gonna smoke it till I retire. I mean, when I was 45 years ago, I guess it was, when I was in the Army, I smoked it out in the field, and it didn't drive me crazy or anything. But my question is, with these dispensaries selling recreational, are they going to be like pre-rolled, like cigarettes, pre-rolled in a pack with a tax stamp on the bottom of it?
I don't know, Rich. I think that might be part of it. I'm sure there'll be edibles. There'll be all sorts of options out there.
Yeah, from what I've seen in different cities and everything, it's like pre-packaged. It almost looks like, I mean, not saying it, but it does look like candy. Like, you go in there and it looks very packaged, and everything has a name and a name brand, and you can pretty much get anything you want from food to ointment to, you know, rolled cigarettes, right, and so much more.
Right. I mean, like, I see it now with, what is it, CBD? Or is that the right initials?
You got it. You're there, bud.
You know, I've seen it like in gas stations, and it looks like gummies and stuff like that, you know, like gummy bears. And it's like, okay, I think we ought to make it a little bit not quite look like candy, you know, just in case the kids get a hold of it.
Yeah, well, it's going to say 21 and over, so the kids can,
right,
you know, well, I mean,
but
shoplifting would be one thing, but they're not going to walk up to the counter and buy it.
Right, but I mean, like, if dad buys it and it's sitting at home on a counter and a kid sees it,
yeah, it's like these, okay,
it's like Tide Pods that look like candy, you know.
Well, that's on the parent.
You know,
I got, I got you, Rich. Let me put you on hold because we're up against the clock. Let me just get one more call in here. Real fast, Lottie, go ahead. What do you got?
I'm a living cancer person because I didn't take marijuana. I went to the 5 or 6 teaching hospitals in Chicago, and they did it right. Anybody who thinks that marijuana cures anything is on marijuana. And it's no different than they're doing this because of prohibition. Prohibition didn't work with alcohol. Prohibition is not working with any other sins, such as gambling and marijuana and that kind of stuff. But all of them, the painkillers, all they do, marijuana, opioids, blah, 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 they simply interrupt the nerves that go to your brain. And so you don't feel the pain that's actually there.
Right.
But you really don't know what to cure if there's something wrong with you. I'm a retired high school and college teacher. Kids that I've seen that have been on marijuana for any length of time.
Yeah.
Start to be exactly what the one man said. They can't hold a job. They can't turn the term papers in on time. They get kicked out. They drop out of school. They don't even, you know, wait for it. I really would not want any doctor operating on me to have smoked marijuana in
within the hour. Yeah, I got you, Lottie. I appreciate the phone call. Look, I know people that are weed daily users, and they're highly successful. They have big time jobs. They make, you know, they make a damn good living, and they're successful. Would I ever recommend it? No, I wouldn't. But that's just me. And I know people that have cancer who smoke marijuana daily because it does ease their pain, and it makes their day go by easier. For anybody to have a judgment on that, it's ridiculous. So, look, I think it's a win, but I am concerned that we're not going to see the benefits of it. If we see some property taxes come down, we see some better schools, we see some better roads, we see the infrastructure of the city, the state improving, then we'll all feel good. But if we don't see any of that and some people are now just getting rich and there's more weed around, that would suck. But so we'll have to see how it plays out. One text that I'll read before we take our final timeout. I can't wait. I didn't think this was going to happen so fast. Thank you, JB. Regulated quality is most important. I don't know exactly what I'm getting from, quote, my guy. Now all I know because it's certified. Different strains do different things. Gummies are convenient, too. You are excited, sir. Quick timeout, 720 WGN.